It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Play tonight. Red Sox lost in Philadelphia last night 7-4, ending a 5-game winning streak. Nathan Eovaldi started this one for the Sox, and he and everyone else who followed him failed to do much with new Phillies catcher Wilson Ramos.
Ramos is really good out there. That second at bat, I left a cutter a little up out over the plate, and, you know, he almost hit it out. But, you know, I got to do a better job right there of, you know, making good pitches, good quality pitches to good hitters, and, you know, trying to get us out of that jam.
Ramos went 3-for-5 and drove in 3 runs for the winners. Sox go 7-2 on the road trip. Their division lead still 10 games on the Yankees, who also lost last night. Tonight is a night off. Tampa Bay comes to Fenway Park tomorrow evening. Yankees GM Brian Cashman said yesterday the team underestimated the timeline for Aaron Judge's return. Originally, it was going to be 3 weeks from a chip fracture in his right wrist. Today is 3 weeks since he suffered the injury. He is yet to swing a bat. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer of the Dell Technologies Championship. Michelob Ultra. Live fit, live fun, live ultra. Must be 21 or over. Drink responsibly. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in just 30 minutes.
98.5thesportshub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports wherever you go. 98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich. More entertainment.
It's like old ladies ripping off their cardigan.
Less insubordination. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You gotta get rid of that.
All right, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's got a wacky horn.
I know it is. We gotta get rid of that.
617-779-0985. Yesterday, I don't know how we got on the topic, but we were talking about people with a ton of kids and people who had like 14 kids and this and that. And I said how wildly irresponsible that is. I said there's a plastic dump in the Pacific Ocean that's the size of Texas. The overpopulated world. I think that the good rule of thumb is if you want kids, have the amount, the two. I think it's a good limit to have.
And once again, I called Fred, or a listener did, and it was genius, the Thanos of the sports talk world.
I'm telling you.
Once again, Thanos is the worst villain in all of the Marvel comics, and his big theory is that he wants to be able to snap his fingers and kill half of the universe's population.
I don't want anyone to die. Happy. I don't want anyone to die. I just want people to be unborn. Steve, go ahead.
Yes, I love the show. You guys just do a great job. Yeah, so right now the Earth is 7.6 billion people, and they're using 1.5 Earths for natural resources.
Yeah.
So I would say we need to...
Are you on speaker? This sounds really bad.
No, I'm just in a... I'm just working. I'm in an empty room.
Okay, so are you
on the hopper?
No, he's working. Nope. All right, so you're saying this. you're saying that the Earth is overpopulated, essentially.
Extremely.
Yeah, it's extremely overpopulated, that we are creating too much waste, and that it's endangering the existence of this very world, correct?
Correct.
How many years until the Earth just, like, buckles under the pressure of all the people?
You make fun of it, but there's a very big problem. Do you believe in climate change?
Yes.
And that is a direct effect of overpopulation as well.
Or it's a direct effect of products that cause that.
Which is because of the need to give products to a far greater number of people than necessary.
And you can change those products to where it stops that. Science has done that.
Well, no, they really haven't. It just keeps getting worse and worse.
Now, if you happen to know somebody who's a relative who never had kids, does that mean you're allowed to add one more kid if you want to have more than two?
No.
To make up for that fact?
No.
Okay.
Your relatives are okay. of no consequence.
So if you have an uncle or two that just never got married, you can't say, well, I'll take their two. And
maybe
I'll,
if you maybe if you don't have kids, you get a tax break.
Hmm. but they contribute. Like, they'll get to grow up and, you know, they will pay taxes. So isn't that a better thing?
No, because the Earth is overpopulated. Listen, two is my dream scenario. Obviously, that's not going to happen.
There was a period of time that you wanted a third, if I remember correctly.
You get to that point and then you think that you want another kid because you realize that time's running out and I enjoy having children.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm not going to put you down if you have three. You know, that's, like, I'm not going to get in your business.
Hey, I was one of five.
Yeah, five's too many.
It was fun as hell. Five was great.
I don't care how fun it was. There's a lot of things.
Some of it was fun.
There's a lot of things that are fun that you shouldn't be doing.
It was 90% fun. 10% just, like, kind of being neglected.
Strapped to a bed.
Well, the strapped to the bed thing I didn't know happened until I was an adult. And then I saw a picture of me strapped to the bed. And then I realized I was strapped to a bed.
Yeah. Just because something's fun doesn't make it something
even
that should happen.
Even being strapped to a bed, I guess, felt fun.
Well, listen.
Really?
I don't know how that... Okay. I don't know.
At some point, you know.
Just picture you wearing a leather mask.
Jesus.
You know, inability to breathe.
Fred, hello.
But yes, I
Fred, goodbye.
When people tell cute stories about being like one of 10, I'm saying, and not like in the 1800s, but like now, like I'm one of 10. It's why? What are you doing? It's too many kids.
If you're having 10 kids, you obviously think that you can handle it. And if they're growing
I don't care if they're the richest family in the world, full of educators and the greatest minds. It's too many kids.
Well, that's like communism stuff. Don't they do that in China? Don't they force abortions? Isn't that the thing?
I don't know if they force abortions.
I thought there was like a law.
I don't know anything about that, and I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying, look at the population of China. It's out of control. Tyler, go ahead.
This whole thing about Jimmy G being a bad draft pick, like, I love listening to you guys, and then there's, like, 10% of the time where you just make me want to rip my hair out.
Okay, but ultimately, all right, Jimmy Garoppolo appears that he's going to be a good quarterback. But hang on a second. Tell me why that's a good draft pick.
Because it's been well documented that he is, you know, that draft pick pushed Brady to become a better player. He's on a down slope. That draft pick happened. And it pushed them to the next level of craziness.
Okay, so you're feeling that now that Garoppolo's gone, Brady's going to have a subpar year.
I can see that happening. I can see him dropping.
Okay, you know what? If that's the case,
well, also
hang on a second. If that's the case, and Brady falls apart this year and has a subpar year, I'm on your team. I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm on your team.
Well, Fred, I mean, the one thing, you're making it sound like this is a horrible thing that the Patriots are getting rid of these draft picks. They don't have enough money to sign all these guys.
After seven years, they need
big money. Now,
Garoppolo had no effect on your team, unless you believe that Brady played better because of him. He had no direct effect on your team, and you got just basically compensation that equaled what you used to get him. So to me, is Garoppolo a good player? Probably.
Once again, question that they can't draft?
The question is, as this team stands right now and going into the immediate future, where are they in terms of the talent that they drafted?
Okay, and if you're worried about that, I would say 2 years ago they won the Super Bowl. Last year they went to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So with whatever they've been able to collect and accumulate, whether it be the picks that they traded people for or their draft picks themselves, like James White, they have been extremely successful,
I would argue that because it's a sport that relies on one position and that it was Tom Brady. And that Tom Brady is the reason that happened. And inevitably, Tom Brady will not have seasons like that coming up into the future. And if you look around that defense, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but that front seven's very questionable.
Yeah.
We don't know where we're at with the offensive line.
We don't know. The front seven, we don't know. The offensive line is not in terrible shape.
It's not in terrible shape.
No.
But
you have
guys. Some unknowns.
No, you don't know how Trent Brown's going to pan out at left tackle. You don't know where Isaiah Wynn's going to play. You don't know where Joe Tooney is. I mean, you have guys that can play. You don't know where all the pieces
receiver.
Fit. Receiver, they're screwed.
Okay, so all I'm saying,
they're just screwed.
I'm not saying they're not winning the AFC East.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, and all that Lockhart's saying, is that they're older, and they're in a position that I don't think they're set up to be. I think they're going to decline.
And I would modify your argument. You seem to think now that next year is a possibility. I'm not willing to say that,
John. A possibility,
2 or 3 years down the road.
Possibility in that it could happen. Like this year.
If everything falls correctly.
Right. This year, no way.
No.
Okay? Not a possibility in any way. Okay?
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that in 2019...
You have a 5% chance.
Yes.
And then it goes... I'll give you 5% for next year.
I'll say
2 years from now... You might have an argument if Darnold continues to mature the way you hope he does.
As long as Brady's quarterback for the Patriots, they're winning the AFC East.
It's not.
I mean,
Darnold could be a better quarterback in 2 years than Tom Brady. I mean, he could. I mean,
if
a 43-year-old quarterback
falls right, yes. If everything falls right,
now
that's correct.
Will Darnold ever be as good as Tom Brady was in his prime or last year? No. But there's a chance that Darnold could be a better quarterback than Brady.
But you would
in
hope.
2 years.
But you would hope that in 3 years, if they're indeed going to do that, that they will do some sort of. I mean, they have to do some sort of planning to get
they do that this year.
Either a back, dude. I did
takes,
too.
It takes a couple of years to develop a quarterback.
You know
how hard it is to get a quarterback. I mean, look at the Jets. It can take
look at
four
everyone
decades.
Else in the division and how many decades they've spent trying to find the next guy.
Hey, Fred Belichick knows how hard it is to get a quarterback. That's why he's so pissed. I mean, he had to get rid of the guy that he knew was going to be the man.
No, that's not part of it.
And how many quarterbacks have they whiffed on in the draft?
They had that kid, what was it, O'Connell, they drafted in the third round. It was a miserable failure.
They took the kid that transferred from Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, Castle.
Castle wasn't a bad pick.
Castle wasn't a whiff.
But they
got rid of him because they knew he was a whiff. They knew he wasn't good.
I mean, Mallett.
Mallett's the guy I'm thinking of. They've taken
Jacoby Brissett. You don't know what he's going to be, but he's not awful.
He's going to be a backup.
He's not a strong.
Yeah, I mean,
he's going to be a backup.
But he's not a swing and a miss.
But he might be a starter in this league for another team other than Indianapolis.
But he's not going to be a starter on a team that wins.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, he's not a Super Bowl quarterback.
I mean, but then again, there aren't a lot of Super Bowl quarterbacks.
That's the point. And that's why as Brady gets older, it's not, I mean, this team is going to decline. It is.
Well, I mean, we understand. I mean,
I know but it's going to decline enough.
I'll tell you what, here's the most astounding thing. And this probably proves your point more than anything, is that I'm astounded that the Patriots, outside of getting Josh McDaniels back at the beginning of the season, have done little to nothing to improve this team in the offseason. Like, that's the most mind-blowing thing. And we mentioned four big names that are now gone, and you've done nothing to patch this up. So you've got Nate Solders, we talked about. He's gone. You had Malcolm Butler leave. You had two of your best receivers, Danny Amendola and Brandon Cooks. And what did you do? Like, honestly, if you could give me a scorecard as to what the Crafts did, as far as or Belichick, what have they done outside of the draft?
And by the way,
to improve this team, Deion Lewis was good. Deion Lewis is gone now too. By the way, you know who feels that the Patriots didn't want him? He said that in an interview with Ben Volen.
By the way, does Gronkowski play in 2 years? That's another thing to think about. And if Gronkowski's not playing, who's
not
Brady
here?
Going to?
I don't think I think he may play, but it's not going to be here.
Right. I mean, so that's another thing to keep in mind: is that if you lose Gronkowski. I mean, but then again, the Jets don't have any second-round picks for the near future, but it doesn't matter because they've whiffed on every second-round pick they've ever taken.
We also don't even know if they have a quarterback yet. Darnold projects to be good.
This is all based on Darnold being a good quarterback. Right. My argument is stupid if Darnold's not good.
Right.
I mean, the whole thing, I don't know if Darnold's good or not. I'm saying if Darnold is good, the Jets are in a position where they could do something in 2 years.
So we just said Trent Dilfer like won a Super Bowl. You don't need an A-list all-star to help. But you need a defense. That defense the Ravens had was an all-time defense.
Unless Jacksonville wins a Super Bowl, I mean, that was decades ago. And the NFL has changed a tremendous amount. So unless Jacksonville makes it to the Super Bowl and wins, then I'll give it to you.
I mean, you had like Rex Grossman, like what is that, about a decade ago, too? That he was there?
Yeah, and then he showed exactly who he was in the Super Bowl.
Could you imagine if the Patriots would have made it to that Super Bowl?
Yes, they would have beat him 100-0.
They would have murdered the Bears.
Yeah, they would have beat him 100-0. All right, this portion of Toucher and Rich is brought to you by Bill DeLuca, Chevrolet GMC Buick.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Fred, hello. And hello.
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 I don't know why you say goodbye. I say hello.
Hello.
Open another game plan.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Guy from Machine rating the men on NBC Sports Boston earlier. Some nice things to say about Haggerty.
About everybody.
About everybody.
I don't get some of the references, but, you know, I guess I'm sure someone will inform me of what some of these things mean. Like,
hi, Gary. He looked like he eat Fruit Loops.
All right, I don't know what that means.
Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops. I thought for a minute he was like he looked like Toucan Sam or something like that.
Oh.
You know, maybe that was it, but that's not it. Okay, so I've just been informed of something which I had no idea about. Could you please send our intern in, if you would not mind? We have had an intern for the last several months. How long has it been? Like 3 months?
I don't know.
Yeah, all summer long. And Fred and John Wallach, I would like you to take a sheet of paper, and I would like you to write on... Here, have a seat. I would like to write on said sheet of paper both the name of our intern and what school he attends. The name of our intern and the school he attends. Once you're both ready, please let me know.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
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 Hang on.
You all set? Shouldn't take that long,
okay,
John.
I'm all set. I think. I actually know where he went to college.
I didn't know that either.
I don't know
where he lives. I don't know what school he goes
to. John?
Yeah.
What is the name of our intern?
Robbie.
That is correct. What the school that he attends?
Emerson?
Not Emerson. Fred, what is the name of our intern that you wrote down?
Brandon.
I knew it. Yeah. I called it. I said to Dan, I was like, Fred's not going to get his name. Fred's not going to know his name. Now, I kind of predicted that you would know his name, but you wouldn't go know what school he went to.
No, I know where he lives. He lives in Attleboro.
Can I give John a hint?
No, I want to see what Fred put.
Oh, okay. UMass.
No.
Okay.
No. Now, I think it's excusable to not know what school he goes to. Because I don't know what school he goes to. I actually don't know. You told me. It's, I mean, Dan just told me, but I didn't know.
Is it URI?
On the first day we met, John, we discussed this, and we went to school in the same sort of area of the country.
Ithaca?
That's helpful. Close.
St. Lawrence?
What's close? His name? Hamilton?
Hamilton. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Upstate New York. Okay.
Fred, what's his name?
Robbie?
That's it. Yes. You nailed it. Absolutely. All right. So, Robbie, out of your time here on the Touch and Rich show, what have you learned about, you know what? Let's go around the room. What have you learned about John Wallach?
I don't know.
Not a lot. Not a lot, apparently.
He seems to be sort of like the, I guess, perhaps the most quote-unquote sort of normal member of the team here. I guess if anything about him, I was struck by sort of how...
boring?
I wouldn't say boring, but it seems like radio personalities can often be a bit out there, and he seems very grounded.
Grounded.
Okay.
I'll take that. Thank you.
Nondescript,
thank
grounded,
you.
Boring, right. Milk now, toast.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Now, what have you learned about... Now, I'm talking about stuff like not just what you hear on the air, but like off the air that you see. About these. What have you learned about me?
I don't mean to excessively flatter you, but I was really quite impressed by the amount of work that you do sort of behind the scenes. You were not complacent with being just sort of an on-air star. You're always sort of hustling around when we go to commercial and running in and giving Mike whatever idea you have for what's coming.
Can we keep this guy around longer? I think he's got a future. I think he's got a future in radio. All right, what did you learn about Fred during this time?
Fred has no regard for the in-studio food rules or any sort of law or regulation whatsoever, which I found delightful. He never seemed to make any particular attempt to be nice to me, but I appreciated him from a distance.
All right. Well, that's fair.
All right.
That's a fair assessment. How about Bird? What did you make? Because you had to sit essentially behind Bird almost this entire time. Nick and Bird, you were like directly behind where they are.
Yes.
So you got firsthand knowledge of what he brings to the table. What did you learn about Bird behind the scenes?
He's constantly on Facebook during the show.
Not checking the phones.
More than 50% of the time.
Jeez. All right.
Is he posting or is he just looking at what...
No, he's just reading stuff. Looking at... He likes, like, there's a lot of, like, animal videos. Like animals doing, like, goofy stuff.
So he's the Michael Scott of the show.
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
So.
Okay. All right. What about Nick? Is there anything you learned about Nick when he was on the show?
I didn't get to spend a lot of time with Nick because he just came back way towards the end.
Because he almost died. That's right.
Nearly dead, Nick.
He was half dead while you were
there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Honest, I really don't have anything to say about Nick, unfortunately.
All right. And was there any one instance behind the scene that either that's going to stick with you when you leave? Like something that happened off the air that you're always going to remember?
Ice Cube's entourage was pretty exciting. The guy with like the iced out Dodgers cap. I had to walk around to do the hubcast and they were all sort of camped out in one of the offices and there was one guy sitting at the door and he sort of like
not letting you in.
Sort of like eyed me up, which was exciting. Also, every time John would there'd be like something weird going on in the studio and John would forget to do the headlines and Dan would just go ballistic.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
That was fun too.
Love
you, John.
Yeah. Dan has no tolerance for fools. And
no.
John all the time that you'll hear someone yell. And it's always great too when he accidentally presses the wrong button. John! And it's my headphone. So that does it. Now he has a short fuse. You've noticed that, correct?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
Zero to Irish.
All right. Zero to Irish. That's as Dan says,
thank
yes.
Thank you, Robbie.
Yeah. Zero to Irish, no time. All right. So this is your final day. Anything you would finally like to say to all of us at the crew for making your life so amazing over the last 3 months?
No, thank you. This has been a really fun time. As I've said a whole bunch, like waking up early really sucked, but this is like a really cool environment. And I hope that it sort of puts me in a place that I can maybe do something in radio one day. It seems like you guys have a good amount of fun.
You certainly are relaxed on the air, I have to say that.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes, yeah. You seem very natural.
Has anyone been an a-hole to you here at the station?
No.
Really?
You had to think about it.
You had to think about it.
I'm thinking about this a little bit now.
What about Zoe?
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, you sort of teed me up for that one. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen Zoe in a while because Zoe used to always hang out, you know, sort of backstage back at the old studios.
Uh-huh.
But here he just sort of seems to just come in and doesn't really interact.
Well, he's a TV guy now.
Yeah,
he's
got
to wear his sponsor shirt.
That's right. I'll wear that shirt. Cool.
Yes, but Zoe always had something to say. One time he asked me what drugs I do, just like really out of the blue. I didn't really know how to respond to that. He always loved my jeans, very skinny and often ripped, which he drew all sorts of conclusions from.
Not Zola, right?
Zolak certainly has his finger on the pulse of youth culture. There's no question about that.
All right. Well, hey, listen, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're finally done with your internship. Hope you had a good time. Hope we weren't too much of a group.
And sorry, Robbie, but as you said, it's very early in the morning, and I don't feel like having that many conversations. But you do seem very natural on the air.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
And I'm being dead serious. And that is a very difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you really need is to be conversational and sound like You're just having a normal talk. So
fair enough.
By the way, the minute he started talking about you ignoring the food rule, our program director just tweeted the word in capital letters, what?
I mean, I'm not having like steak and eggs on the table. Everything's fine.
Well, not this morning.
No, not this morning. I have a cap on my beverage. Everything is wonderful. All right, Robbie, thanks so much for the help.
Thanks so much.
We will be back. What are we going to talk about in the stack, Rich?
There is an athlete who just made more from an investment that he made than he made his entire playing career, and this is a superstar. So we will get to that. On top of that, John Gruden is back saying John Gruden liked things.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Now you get 5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, it finally happened.
Ready to seal the seven seas?
Sarge, sub-zo. It's all good, baby.
That's right. The Sarge Shark ended up attacking somebody. No, a real deal shark attack. This happened at Truro over off Cave Cobb, and I had to look at like where the hell is Truro?
It's near Provincetown,
And Dan was telling me that it's like the last town that you hit before you get to Provincetown. So you go around the elbow and you head on up, and then it's right there to the right. And this was a man who was 61 years old. They're saying he was 30 yards out, which isn't that much, 100 feet, or 90 feet, rather. And he was bit in the torso, puncture wounds to his torso and legs. And finally, someone was able to speak to him this morning.
Chris Myers was in the water with his son when a great white sunk his teeth into his leg. He managed to get free and was taken to the hospital with 8 deep gouges and some torn tendons.
I kicked very hard with my free leg, with my right leg, and I was able to... Or the shark decided I wasn't tasty or something good happened and he let me go.
Have you seen how shallow these sharks
are swimming? It's because of the environment. The water's way too warm close to shore, and that is attracting seals, which is making the sharks come.
Have you gone to sharktracker.com?
I have not, because it's too depressing, because people still insist that there's nothing happening in terms of our climate.
Well, I mean, as far as the sharks are concerned, they've been over there at Cape Cod forever. I mean, like,
not this close to the shore.
You go to Chatham and you can hear the seals barking right outside the window.
Not this close to shore.
Haven't you seen Jaws? At least since the 70s they've
been. That was here. Martha's Vineyard, and they were and there was one.
And it was a very big one.
Yeah, mechanical.
But if you go to I think it's sharktracker.org, you can see exactly where these sharks are, and you can click on a picture and see the shark itself. And there's just a giant, they have like a little red dot where you see him, like right there at Chatham, like right by the elbow of Cape Cod. It is just a sea of red dots. And then you don't really see like a ton more like south of it. It's just right there at Chatham. And every once in a while you see one kind of scooting out. And this one made it all the way up to Truro, which once again, I didn't even know that town existed until yesterday. But you should have seen the picture that they had. I guess this dude had to get carried by like 30 people up an extremely steep cliff in order to get him out of the water in time. And then I guess there was a helicopter that ended up flying him in. He's going to be okay, it seems like. But every single season, there is some dude on a paddleboard who is paddling away from a fin. Or you see like some sort of scare where there's a guy on one of those stand-up deals and you see one circling around him. It happens every single summer around Cape Cod. At some point, I mean, I just don't go swimming at Chatham. Why would you do it? It happens every single year.
Well, that's great. Now you can't go swimming in Chatham.
Well, just don't go to Chatham. You can go to, like, Falmouth. Falmouth's got that little,
cove?
Cove, little bay there? That seems okay.
Okay.
The water's, like, a little
I'm sorry, I'm not going in the water. It's not happening.
You're not going to the water at all?
No.
Even in Falmouth, you're not going to go there?
I'm not going in the water.
You go up to Maine and you go in those waters.
Sharks don't swim in 50-degree water. Yeah. I'm safe up in Maine, believe me.
Yeah, Maine's just, you just can't go in the water.
There's only really 1 month you can swim in Maine, and that's this month.
Where the water temperature's 62.
Well, you know what's a big deal right now are the jellyfish. Because there's all of these, in August, I guess the water, when it hits a certain temperature, it breeds these certain type of jellyfish that attack the Cape. And I apparently last week, like on the Cape, there were like hundreds of cases of people getting stung by jellyfish. Because what happens is they make these little sandbars, and in the sandbar, the water gets extra warm, and people go walk out there and just these things just nail them over and over again.
Yeah, you got to take a leak on the wound. Is how you treat that.
Yeah, I've heard that peeing does indeed do that.
Yep. Okay.
So,
on almost anything.
Just pee on any, like,
A lot of doctors are into that.
Lop a finger off, just pee on it.
Yep.
You're all set. And it grows right back. Well, John Gruden is a guy who loves making up nicknames for people. We knew that there was the milkman for J.J. Watt. There was the sheriff, which, by the way, have you ever heard anyone ever call J.J. Watt the milkman, other than that one time John Gruden threw that out there just to see if it would stick?
Because he lived in Wisconsin.
And he always brings the cheese or something like that?
No, it's just that he lives in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That was the only reason he called him.
Was it and he always delivers?
The milkman always delivers, but I think milk was because of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Well, they call him the milkman because he's from Wisconsin, and the milkman always delivers.
Okay. I mean,
if you go to his Pro Football Reference page, there it is, the milkman.
Well, I mean, I think that's because one person called him that.
That's right.
And it happened to be on Monday Night Football.
Him and Curt Schilling vying for who did a better job helping people survive the Houston flooding.
Yeah, right. It was really neck and neck, wasn't
photo
it?
Finish.
In the end.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't just for that one trailer that was left in the side of the road, he would have beaten out J.J. Watt. But now John Gruden is the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, and he's got a new nickname for Martavis Bryant, who hasn't been practicing that much.
I don't know. I really don't know. We're calling Martavis the White Tiger. You know, I used to go to Busch Gardens in Tampa. We call Galloway the White Tiger in Tampa. You know, you go to Busch Gardens and they got a White Tiger. You go 12 times, 13 times I went to Busch Gardens. The White Tiger was always in his cage. Well, the White Tiger came out today. Bryant came out. I don't know if you get that analogy, but sometimes he comes out to play and sometimes he doesn't. And it's good to see him because he's really special, like the White Tiger.
We got time for one more, guys.
It's late in the day here, man.
That just confirms to me that Gruden's going to be great. Like, he's not going to hold back at these press conferences. He's the same old Gruden.
He's like, you know, I went to Busch Gardens. Get out of there, Tiger.
Right.
Come over here and wrestle me like a man.
It used to be the only amusement park you could get drunk and ride roller coasters.
Yeah.
That's why everyone would go to Busch Gardens, because you could drink beer on the premises.
Yeah.
Because
you could at Circus World as well.
You could drink at Circus World?
Yep.
I guess you had to. It was Calliope music.
I think it was owned by the Busch Corporation.
It could be. Well, I mean, I wonder what his nickname for Jim Washburn was.
Jim Washburn was an ex-college coach. He'll get on his motorcycle and drive from coast to coast. And if he sees anybody that looks like a big explosive pass rusher, he'll pull over and work him out.
Get over here, my High Plains Drifter. Get out that horse, cowboy. Let's go.
That is still one of my favorite all-time. Out of all the things John Gruden's ever said, the fact that he said that he knew a guy that would ride his motorcycle around, and you see a dude at like a rest stop, hey, you know, at like the urinal.
He'd get on his, he'd stand on the toilet and put his head over the divider, and he'd be like, hey, look at in there.
What you got there? I'm seeing you through this hole here.
Look at that. You got big legs. I couldn't help but notice. And you got the calves the size of damn watermelons.
Could you do a little push-up for us? So, by the way, I was mistaken about one fact and figure. I thought I saw someone say this, but, you know, Dan O'Brien is exactly right. Kobe Bryant has made a lot of money in his playing career. As a matter of fact, on top of, like, when you add endorsements that he's had plus what he has made just by being on the Lakers, he's made $680 million during his 20-year career.
He has made the second most money in the history of the NBA, salary-wise, $328 million.
And number one, KG, correct? Yes.
343. Yep. I think Shaq is third at almost 300.
He came in at just the right year to make it so, before all the rules came in and restrictions about the caps and the amount of money that these guys can make. But how about this? This doesn't suck. In 2014... Kobe Bryant invested approximately $6 million in body armor. That was his, it was basically for about 10% of the company.
So sports drink.
Yeah. Well, no, Under Armour. Under Armour is the,
body armor is a sports drink.
Body armor, the sports drink.
Which I've never seen in my entire life.
I haven't either.
Mookie Betts is like, been a spokesman for it on this radio station.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, then it must be great.
Well, Coca-Cola acquired it, and that's where everything took off. So right now, Kobe Bryant's shares for the 10% that he bought in this body armor company are now worth an estimated $200 million.
Jeez.
$200 million and a $6 million investment. How much over 4 years, by the way? I mean, that's how quick it happened. I mean, you know that George Clooney made a ton of money off of that alcohol thing right. that he did. And how much money did 50 Cent make off of Vitamin Water? Because I know he was one of the first investors in Vitamin Water. And I thought that he was like something crazy. Like he had made something like $200 million as well.
He used to do a lot of promoting of penny stocks until he got in trouble. He was a big proponent of penny stocks. People would hire him to pimp them.
50 Cent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forget how much money he made, but I remember, and I don't know if it was a an old wives' tale or whatever that he got. Oh, yeah, it says $500 million.
Jeez.
$500 million, according to the Washington Post.
All from Adolfo.
Yeah, it said the event epitomized, okay, it says, Vitamin Water. Propelling 50 Cent's net worth towards $500 million because of his investment. Unbelievable, man.
Yeah. Well, he is certainly a wealthy man.